We're studying in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew on one greater than, and this is lesson number two. We've already studied a part of it, and we want to see what the Lord has for us in the remainder of this lesson. We get our title out of verse number six, that in this place is one greater than the temple. In what place? A cornfield. And so the Lord Jesus let them know that even in the unorthodox, as it was, meeting place of a cornfield, there was one greater than the temple that they held to, that they established the rules of religion that kept men from having the blessing of the Sabbath that God would have them to have. Now, would you look with me in verse number, verse 39. They ask him in verse 38 that they want to see a sign for him, from him. And I told you, they just wanted him to be a puppet on a string to entertain them and let them see something. And I think it was Herod that wanted to see great things from John the Baptist, want to see some miracle. So he answered them in Matthew 12:39 and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now, he wasn't saying that all of them that were there were guilty of adultery physically, but he was saying that all of them standing there were guilty of spiritual adultery. That is, there was a marriage between God and Israel, and he says, thy maker is thy husband in the book of Isaiah. And so he was saying that you have adulterated your relationship with God. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, not period, not no sign at all, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, what was the sign of the prophet Jonas? He goes on to preach about it in verse 40. For as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That was the sign of the prophet Jonah, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and that is the fulfillment of that which happened to Jonah as he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. And he says in verse 41, the men of Nineveh, that's where Jonah was sent, and he didn't want to go. So God sent him to fish school. And then when he got out of fish school, he went running to Nineveh, and he started preaching his little sermon. Yet in so many days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all he would preach. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So in verse 6, he says, one greater than the temple. Here in verse number 41, he said, one greater than Jonas. Read the next verse, verse 42 of Matthew 12. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, queen of Sheba. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This woman was not an Israelite. She was not in the covenant with that you have, that you feel like you have with God. She was not an Israelite. She did not live close like you do. You can step out your door and hear the word of God anytime you want. She had to transverse the earth. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. For what purpose? To hear. What were they not doing? They would not hear him. the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So we understand and see that there's something going on here. We have a greater one than the temple in verse 6, a greater one than Jonas in verse 41, a greater one than Solomon in verse number 42. So we begin to understand and see the greatness and the magnitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. Philippians chapter 2. The book of Philippians chapter 2. And let's read verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What are we going to do about that verse? Jesus said, I'm greater than the temple, I'm greater than Jonah, I'm greater than Solomon. And this verse says, you need to esteem others better than yourself. Well, are we going to use this verse to condemn the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course not. But how are we going to understand it? We'll drop down to verse 7. Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God in verse 6. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. And even lower, he took upon himself the form of a servant. And then even lower than that, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he further humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and not just death, but the death of the cross. Now listen, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Jesus Christ could say, one greater than Jonas was here, one greater than Solomon is here, because it wasn't himself that was esteeming himself higher than he should, in contradiction to Philippians 2 and verse 3. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. But he was telling you what God had done. It wasn't him, it was God. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Listen, and given him a name which is above every name, above the name of the temple, above the name of Jonah, above the name of Solomon. God did that. God puts down one man and exalts another. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wherefore God hath highly exalted. God hath highly exalted him. So Jesus has every right to say, I'm greater than Jonah, I'm greater than Solomon, I'm greater than the temple. Because he was. Why? Because God did it. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Does Jonas have a name? Yep, it's Jonas. What about David's son? What's his name? Solomon. He's greater than that. There is no name that you can mention in the entirety of the universe of which Jesus Christ is not higher than. He's greater than all. And how can he say that he is? Because God hath made him so. God made him higher. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Jonas and Solomon's. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over all, then that glorifies God the Father. But if you do not hold Jesus Christ as being the Lord of glory, the highest name in all the worlds, then you are not glorifying the person of Almighty God. That's how we look at that. Go with me to Luke chapter 14, the book of Luke. Chapter 14 and verse number 7. Luke 14 and verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, the chief places, saying unto them, Jesus was looking at those who came to this feast, and they were all trying to get up to the head of the table up near where the person who was giving the feast was sitting. And he said, don't do that. He says unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest place, lest there be a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man your place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. He said, when you come to a gathering, I see how all y'all try to rush and get in and sit up there close to where the honor is at the head of the table. But you're going to hurt yourself if you don't learn to sit down lower, because if you sit up higher and somebody come in more honorable than you, and believe me, there will be, and the head of the household comes up and says, friend, I'm sorry, I need this place for this man, and you have to go, and you lost your place, and then all these other people have already gathered and got those places up there as close as they could, but you have to go all the way down to the end to find a place. And he said, you go down there with shame. Give this man a place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Listen, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say, what are you doing way down there? Friend, go up higher. Come on up here where I am. And you'll be the one that he tells somebody to get up and get out of the way so that you can have their place. He said, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Now listen. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. If you want to go up and be seen in your own esteem, God will put you down, for God hates a proud look. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And what do we read in that Philippians chapter 2? Did we not read that Jesus humbled himself? Did we not read that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Did not we read that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant? And we see Jesus going down, down, down. Just so you can tell the difference between those who really are of the Lord by their willingness to be humbled and humiliate themselves and go down. And you can tell those who are of Satan's church, the harlot church, because they're always wanting to be seen and be in the spotlight and go up, up, up. And God said, I'll tell you this. Those of you that want to go up, up, up and be seen as in your own glory, I'll put you down. But those of you that think not highly of yourselves and just glad to be a Christian, just thankful to the Lord to be able to come into a place where God is worshiped, he said, I'll bring you up. So we see that Jesus is in perfect harmony with the Spirit and the holiness and the purpose of God. He can say one greater than Solomon is here. He can say one greater than Jonah is here. And he's not breaking the rule of the law in Philippians 2:3 by not esteeming others higher than himself. He has come to become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. There's not another man in the human race ever, in the entirety of the human race, that knows what it is to have the death of the cross. You say, well, there was a lot of people crucified by the Romans back then. Yeah, but nobody had the sin of the world put upon them like Jesus did. It was the sin of the church. He hath made him to be sin for us. He, God the Father, made him, not everybody, just him, to be sin for us. Nobody has had that experience of the cross that this verse is talking about in Philippians 2 and verse 8. It's not talking about crosses. Like you say, a lot of people hung on crosses by the Romans. They like to do that. But dear soul, we're talking about God's cross, the cross, the place of redemption, the place where, spiritually speaking, and nobody could do it, nobody could see it. Listen, God made him to be sin for us. That's the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him. And so he could say, one greater than the temple is here, at this place, in this cornfield. And one greater than Jonah is here. And one greater than Solomon is here. Now, the reason that he's greater than Jonas is because Jonas only had a sign for which the reality was to be brought out by Jesus Christ. What is it, Romans 1 and verse 20? Boy, I hope it is. The book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 20, it is. Thank you, Lord. For the invisible things of him, the invisible things of the being and essence of God himself, they are from and by the creation of the world clearly seen. The things that are made are there to reveal the invisible things of God. There's more going on in that cornfield than what the Pharisees can see. And you in your cornfield, when you see that the Lord Jesus Christ in that cornfield is greater than all religion, your heart is filled, not just your belly filled with the corn, but as your belly is being filled with corn and your mouth is tasting the sweetness of the corn, you're thinking about feasting off of his body and drinking his blood. Spiritually speaking, that is, the priest got to eat off the sacrifices. You are made a generation of kings and priests. Brother Mike brought that out very recently in one of his Bible lessons. So you're thinking about and you're filled with the glory of God Almighty, and you're worshiping God better in that cornfield than you ever did down there at the synagogue. There's a hindering of the spirit in organized religion. The further I get away from organized religion, the more liberty I have to preach and the more clarity I have to see the Lord. I know I'm going to read Romans 1:20. I'll finish it up in just a minute. Wait a minute. Let me preach a little bit. Where did the Apostle John wind up for him to see the greatest revelation of Jesus Christ? You don't find it in the book of John. Who wrote it? John the Apostle. You don't find it in the first, second, and third epistles of John. Who wrote them? John the Apostle. Where do you find it? When he was alone on the Isle of Patmos, thrown out because of his preaching of the Word of God. He now had become a smitten shepherd. So he understood and not just in thought, not just in deduction, but in the experience of his soul, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, praise God. I hope we all can have that, being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That ain't necessarily Baptist, but it is necessarily Christian. Dear soul, it don't matter about organization. It matters about the work of the Holy Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he said, there was an angel came to me. I'm going to mess this up if I don't get over here and read it. And begin to reveal the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. Let me read it. He says in Revelation chapter 1. I'll be there in a minute. Hold on just a minute. He said, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits. It was Christ and the Holy Ghost ministering to him, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. And he goes on down and says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, Revelation 1:10. And he said, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Sometimes we get on out ahead of God, and God is faithful enough to speak behind us, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Write in a book. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice. Now, you need to meditate on that. I got a hearing aid in every ear I got. And I understand about having a problem hearing. And sometimes, dear soul, I can't tell where the voice is and which way it's coming from. Especially if I take my hearing aids off and somebody says something to me, I don't know where they are. So I don't turn to see the voice. I turn my ear in order to hear the voice. Remember that. This is spiritual. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to him because he is now absolutely alone. That's how God would get him in order to reveal himself to him. And you are wanting to have as many people around you as you possibly can, so that what? God won't come to you? Wow. Listen. And I turned to see the voice. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is a person. So I turned to see the person. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks, the seven churches of Asia. And guess where the voice was? Right in the middle of them. God is going to reveal himself to his people. And he says, here's a description that I saw. And if you want an authorized description of what Jesus of Nazareth or Bethlehem looked like, you can read Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, and read on down through verse number 16. But be prepared to understand you're going to have this description revealed to you according to the Spirit of God, who doth not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are deathless, they are eternal. Now let's go back to Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of the being and the essence and the person of God by the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can clearly see the invisible things of the being of God by looking at things. Yep. That's why he said, I'm greater than Jonah. Because Jonah just had a sign. What was it? He was in that fish's belly 3 days and three nights. What is that a sign of? I thought you wanted to see Jesus. You say, well, I do. Well, listen. That was a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then bringing forth the gospel. So the sign of Jonas is the depth of God's mercy in giving his only begotten son, freely giving him and delivering him up for us all. For the invisible things of him by the creation of the world are clearly seen. So I can look at the creation of the world and clearly see God. Yes, if you have the spiritual mind, if you have anointed eyes, he said, you need to ask for eye salve, that you might be able to see. Listen, being understood by the things that are made, how far can we see? You can see these attributes of God, his eternal power and his Godhead, so that those people who live and walk around in this world, you say they're not saved, but they never heard the gospel. Yes, they did. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Night unto night, night and day unto day, uttereth speech. Psalm 19 says, the world has a voice, but sin hath dulled our hearing, and we can't hear it. But he said, those things that happened to Jonah were but those things that are made in order for you to look upon and understand and perceive one greater than Jonah. And he says, if you cannot see the person of God in his invisible essence, then you are now without excuse. God can't send that fellow over yonder in the darkest continent to hell because he didn't ever heard the gospel. Did you ever hear a rooster crow? Peter, when you hear the rooster crow, he said, you're going to understand and know that you've denied me. And when Peter heard that rooster was the greatest preacher Peter ever heard. My soul, have you ever been around anybody at the time of the birth of their children? Do you know anything about a woman having a baby? You must be born again. The whole concept of the new birth was to be opened up to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. He was the high muckety-muck of the Pharisees. And he said, how can these things be? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Jesus said, man, if I can't tell you earthly things about a woman having a baby, how can I tell you heavenly things? So the heavenly things are hindered or aided by either the understanding or the lack of understanding of the natural things, because the whole world is a gospel preacher. That's what he said. Night unto night, uttereth speech. Day unto day, uttereth knowledge. I hope that's Psalm 19. I'm counting on it being Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, because of the Tower of Babel and God confounding the languages, when people would go to the mission field, they have to go to language school to be able to speak the language that those people speak, to be able to preach to them. I was down in the Yucatan Peninsula way back in the early 70s, 1970. Shows you how old I am. And they would have different ones of us that traveled down there to preach in one of those pulpits of those Spanish-speaking churches. And man, was it an ordeal. I would say 5 or 6 words and have to stop. The pastor would have to repeat them in Spanish. It was quite an ordeal. And so it took some effort to be able to get the gospel message across to those people. And I preached on Jesus stopping the woman in the casket outside of the city of Nain, where she was taking her son, her only son, to be buried, and he raised him up out of the casket and gave him back to his mother. God helped me with that. And I thank the Lord for it, because it was difficult just saying a few words and stepping aside and let the pastor repeat it in Espanol. But dear soul, there's not a single soul on God's green earth ever. I don't care what nation they were born in or what century they were born in. Everyone has heard creation utter speech and show knowledge. Because in verse 3 of Psalm 19, there is no speech, there is no language where their voice is not heard. And that's what he was saying in Romans 1:20. So they are without excuse. Listen, their line is going out through all the earth. You can't stop it. This speaking, whether it's a young lady in the Netherlands in the 1600s, or whether it's a young man in Italy in the 21st century, it doesn't matter who or where they are. They have God's universe that is formed in order to be his final and a foremost gospel witness as far as created order is concerned. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle of a son for the son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. So, dear soul, this business of him being in this cornfield, he said, one greater than the temple is here in this place, in a cornfield. And he said, my disciples are not guilty, although y'all are saying they are guilty, because you don't understand the law and because you can't see the benefit of being in a cornfield and understanding God. You don't see the benefit of the account of Jonah being in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights. You can't perceive and understand these natural things. How can I show you earthly things? Excuse me. How can I show you heavenly things? That's what he was saying. Oh, my soul. So we come to understand that we can understand the being and greatness of God as God opens up our hearts to see the created order round about us. Well, let me ask you this. How long has the printing press been in an invention? Did I get that right? An invention. Well, you say, well, just a few hundred years. Okay. Excuse me. How long has the earth been here and been populated by human beings? For thousands of years. The earth's been here and been populated for thousands of years? Right. But the printing press has only been invented for hundreds of years. What about all those people? All those Chinese, all those Russians, all those, whoever they are, Japanese, and all those people that lived prior to their being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then prior to the printing press to print in their language the gospel of God. Untold millions. Well, if our little theory of soul winning is right, all those people are going to hell. Because we're going to have our missionaries go there to say those things in their language after the missionaries go to language school to be able to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all of them are not going to be saved. What are you going to do? We have had religion to brainwash us to think that if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. This old God was doing it long before Charles Finney invented the altar call. I'm greater in this cornfield than the temple. I'm greater than Jonah with his unbelievable account of being swallowed by a fish. And we like it the other way around. We like to swallow fish. We like a good fish fry. But this wasn't that way. God had to get this man prepared to go to Nineveh because he was a Jew. And he wasn't going to have nothing to do with them nasty, stinking Gentiles. And he got mad at God. He said, I knew you was going to do this. Now you got me in a shape where if I go back to Israel, if I go back to Jerusalem, they're not going to have me because they're going to say that I've been involved with Gentiles. So I'm going to be cast out. You've ruined my life, Lord. But God said, the Ninevites repented at the little, I think it was a 9-word sermon. That's all Jonah would preach. He's so mad at him. Yet in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Ever how many words that is. But God had it covered. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Night unto night uttereth speech, and day after day uttereth knowledge. There is no language or speech where their voice is not heard. Oh, glory to God. And right here in this cornfield, there's more revelation of God than there is in your temple with all the muckety-muck and the finery and the gold and the cedar and the, you know, all the chanting you do and the, you know, wearing of the robes and, you know, all the stuff y'all go through and what all you have to do. There's more God right here in this cornfield. Isn't that amazing? God is so good to us. We showed unto you Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. After we read you Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, you should esteem others greater than yourself. But we saw that Jesus was not out of order. God forbid that we should even think such a thing. But to prove it, we read you verses 7 through 9 of that same chapter of Philippians chapter 2 and showed you that God had highly exalted him. So he was highly exalted. Now, let's go back to Jesus in Matthew chapter 20. And Ms. Zebedee is going to bring up a situation in Matthew 20 in verse number 20. And we're going to see how Jesus said we are to understand who is the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus said one greater than the temple, Matthew 12:6. One greater than Jonah, Matthew 12:41. One greater than Solomon, Matthew 12:42 is here. And it's me. Now, let's read this. Matthew 20:20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said, he knew what she wanted, but he gave her opportunity to ask, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, excuse me, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, yeah, we're able. No, you're not. You don't even understand what he's talking about. Listen. And he saith unto them, ye shall indeed drink of my cup. You're going to have the persecutions and the afflictions that I have, that I'm having to drink down. You remember he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Well, they're going to drink it too. And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, the fire and the judgment of God. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They got mad at them. What are y'all asking that for? But Jesus called them unto him and said, let's get this thing straightened out and let me use this opportunity to teach you something. Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. Still going on. You can see it in Washington today. You don't have to go to Washington. You just look at, go on your job, look in your neighborhood. People are always wanting the supremacy over other people. He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But here it is now. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Wow. How could Jesus say he was greater than the temple? How could Jesus say he was greater than Jonah? How could he say that he was greater than Solomon? Because he did more to minister to the human race than any person ever in existence. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Nobody. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest missionaries and had more effect on that world than any can imagine, and he's still having effect because of the writings of the Apostle Paul. They are just precious, and they're still being used. John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, writing things that men are still trying to get into and understand. But nobody like Jesus. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now listen. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Listen, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, I'm not going to sit on the throne like Solomon and have them drop grapes in my mouth and just be pampered and petted. I didn't come to be ministered unto, he said, but to minister and to even give his life a ransom for many. So who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? The one who is the greatest minister. If you humble yourself, you shall be exalted. He became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name. He's the greatest in the kingdom because he's the greatest minister there's ever been. Nobody gave up anywhere near as much as he gave up. Though he were rich, yet made himself poor, that we might be rich in him. Nobody gave up what he gave up. The angels, their soul and all their power and their glory, they were not equal with God, and he gave up his being equal with God and gave up being life in order to die. You figure that one out. So he is said to be higher because he went lower. And because he abased himself, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Isn't that something? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, those who are not of God. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why do you overcome the powers of demons? How can you overcome those that you wrestle against? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians 6:12. How are you able to do that and overcome them? Because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Dear soul, Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan. He has already cast him out. Read Revelation 12 and understand that Michael represents Christ and he's fighting with the devil and his angels, that is, those fallen angels that are demons now, and he casts him out of heaven. And he said, it is finished. When he said it is finished on the cross, he wasn't just talking about your sins being finished as far as God being able to redeem you and cleanse you. He was also talking about it is finished where he has defeated Satan. And the King of Glory shall come in. He is exalted into the presence of eternal glory, principalities and powers being made subject unto him. He is in authority over everything and everybody, whether you can see those things or not. You can't see demons. You sure can feel the effect of them. But Jesus Christ is above that, and he says, this is how you have the victory. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because, why can you say you can overcome them? Because greater is he that is in the world than he, excuse me, that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. You can depend on that. If you're the light of the world, and if God gives you some light, some special revelation and unction, and you begin to understand something you hadn't understood before, and it just thrills you to death, and you want to share it, and you try to share it with somebody, and you can't get it out. It won't come out in the glory that you received it. You're speaking to a sow or a dog. Cast not your pearls before swine. You can't give those great pearls that God gave you to them because they can't hear it. Why? Because they're of the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You can tell who people are by how they receive that which God has given you. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, dear soul, you know, in our soul winning occult and trying to transverse the whole earth with the gospel and win all these souls to Jesus, before there was a printing press, before there was a printed page of the scriptures, God had it all taken care of. The heavens declare the glory of God. Night unto night uttereth speech. Day by day it utters knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. I don't know what the Chinese word is for the moon. It doesn't matter, but it's the same thing that they look at night that I look at. There's no language or speech where it's not heard. And God has revelation in creation. We need to get back to the spirituality of religion. And we need to destroy our temples that we might see him raise up the temple in 3 days, the person of Christ himself. For the one that stands here, Matthew 12 and verse 6, standing in a cornfield is greater than he that's in the world. It's greater than your temple. Let's read a couple of verses and we'll be through. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beautiful chapter. Exalts Christ in all so many verses. John chapter 10. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. Our message today is one greater than. And Jesus Christ, the greatest, says in his humanity, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that good? God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. You need to get back to your little childhood prayer. God is great, God is good. Boy, what powerful preaching that is. Well, we just use it for the children. Well, are you a children? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord? Do you hold buildings of religion with higher esteem than you do Christ in your consciousness? Can you worship God in a cornfield? Do you understand and see that those Bible stories with those Bible characters in them, Jonah, the fish, boy, what a story. Solomon, wow. Man, had so much wealth, people dropped silver and he wouldn't bend down and pick it up. Silver was seemingly worthless compared to all the riches that he had. But do you know that the one that has you is greater than Solomon? How is he greater? Because he's minister to all. As the old preacher said, ain't God good? Thank the Lord for your attention, for your prayers, for your kindness in attending with us, and understand and know without doubt that I'm praying for you and trusting that these messages are being used to advance your heart into the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom of God in your heart. God bless you.